Okay, this week's parsha is Kedoshim. We'd like to acknowledge and thank our sponsors, Jake and Karen Abelevitz, for sponsoring today's learning and lunch. Le'ilo Yinishmas, Jake's parents, Eliyahu ben Abba, and Leah bas Avraham. Okay, so the Parshas Kedoshim is chock full of mitzvos, lots and lots of stuff going on in Parshas Kedoshim. And I would like to take a look at one. I mean, you could spend months on Parshas Kedoshim. I want to take a look at one pasuk, which is an important pasuk, but it's still only one pasuk. And this is chapter 19, pasuk 35. Okay, in the middle of Kedoshim. Okay, page 664. Okay. Pasuk says as follows. We'll actually start from Pasuk 33. V'chi yagur itcha ger ba'artzechem. And when a ger, a stranger, a proselyte, dwells amongst you in your land, do not taunt him. Lo sonu oso ke'ezrach mikem yelachem. You should treat him like one of you. V'haftelo kamocha. Love him like yourself. Because you were gerim in Mitzrayim. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am Hashem. So what's the mitzvah over here in this pasuk? And this is not what we're going to focus on, but what's the mitzvah, what's the essential mitzvah of this pasuk?
Like, you have to
wear. It's not a trick question, just a, so what's the essential mitzvah?
Love
whom?
The ger.
Okay, so in other words, we want to treat the ger well. Okay? V'hafta lo kamocha. So we want to treat the ger well. Okay? Treat the ger well. Treat him like your own. Love him. Whatever you want to call it. And what is the... What?
The opposite of ger.
The opposite.
Not ger.
Treat the ger well.
Yeah, but what about the non-ger?
Okay, so that's others. Those are, we have v'hafta lo riacha kamocha for that. Right? So, okay. But this pasuk is just talking about treating the ger well. And what is the reason, the expressed reason stated in the pasuk for that?
God freed us and we will, just like we were.
Are you some gerim?
Right, because you were gerim in Mitzrayim. Remember Mitzrayim. Remember the Alamo. Right? So, because of the fact, so treat the ger well because you're in Mitzrayim, and because you're in Mitzrayim, you should really know how to treat the ger well. Okay? And the pasuk then concludes with, what's the final statement after, because you were gerim in Mitzrayim? Ani Hashem Elokeichem. So why does the pasuk here conclude with Ani Hashem Elokeichem? What? Okay, well, that's not the question we're going to focus on today. This is just all preamble. Okay, so why does it say Ani Hashem Elokeichem? What do you think?
Just remember where you came from. You also at one point were in Mitzrayim, and I made you into a great nation. So I guess he's giving everybody the potential.
Okay, so Briony is channeling her inner Rashi, and Rashi says, "Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Elokecha ve'Elokav ani. I'm your God. I'm his God. We're all we're all in it together." Okay, so treat the ger well because you're in Mitzrayim. We get that piece of it. Treat the ger well. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, one God, indivisible, and justice for all, right? One God for everybody. Okay, so the structure of this mitzvah and pasuk, I think, is logical and defensible. Now let's take a look at the next set of pasukim. Continue. Lo sasu avel b'mishpat. Do not do corruption or crookedness in justice. You should not convert. You should not commit a perversion of justice. Bamida, bamishkal, uvamisura, in the length, weight, or volume. In other words, these are all different types of measure of forms of measurement. So when you measure things, all right, a person is in ancient days, most people dealt in some type of bartering. Right? Or even later on when you had to buy things. So weights and measurements were, you know, how everything was done. So you wanted to buy something, they weighed it out for you, and you bought it. Okay, today everything is prepackaged and it's pre-weighed. So you know everything that's all done in the factory. So we don't really feel it, right? But the underlying structure of the of the commodity business, anything that you're buying and selling has to be weighed and measured. So by saying Mida Mishkal of a Masura, don't do a perversion of justice in weights and measurements. What in fact is the Torah challenging us to do? What's this mitzvah? Be honest. Okay. Be honest. And what would happen if you would be dishonest with your weights and measures? What would be the consequence? I don't mean what's God's punishment, but what's the consequence in society of that?
Otisville,
right?
He's saying that then everything is out of whack.
Right, so in other words, if there's dishonesty, then you basically have a society of people that are robbing and stealing from each other. So if you wanted to boil this down, this is maybe a fancy way of saying don't steal, right? Right, so in essence, be honest. We're going to put an equal sign here. And it's basically saying lo signov, don't steal, or lo signov. Lo signov, lo signov.
The question is why this as opposed to all the other commandments?
Why this or as opposed to all the commandments? What?
Well, here we're mentioning do not steal. You know, giving the impression you shouldn't steal. But we have you have you shouldn't kill. You should cover it.
Okay, so there are lots of things in this parsha. That are discussed. We have Arayos, that's also in the Ten Commandments. So, but you know, this is a sort of one of the underlying elements of society. And I would say the question isn't why is it mentioned. The question is
it's following this one, and based on the heels of what you said last week, if you remember, Mitzrayim was full of not having a judicial system. So
right.
Maybe that's what God's reminding about going back to Mitzrayim, where he took you out of, where there was no judicial system.
Good, you're one step ahead. We're going to get there in a second. But I think a question to ask is, if this pasuk is telling you not to steal, why is it dressing it up by saying, weights and measures and all that? Say, don't steal. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you one of my favorite stories about that. Itinerant preacher, a magid, goes from town to town. He gets to a certain town, and he stops at the rabbi's house, and he says, "I'm here to give my mussar drasha. Tell me, what do the people have to hear?" And the rabbi says, "We're having a problem with people stealing chickens." Great. So he delivers a powerful speech about the ills of stealing and this and that, and people are crying and weeping and so emotional. He leaves town, he comes back 3 months later, and he says to the rabbi, what should I talk about? And the rabbi says, well, we're still having a problem of people stealing chickens. So he musters all of his oratorical skills, and he delivers a powerful, emotional, penetrating drasha about the ills of about the importance of honesty and the ills of dishonesty, etc., etc. And people are emotional and crying and weeping in the pews. And it's 3 months later, he comes back to town, and the rabbi says, "We're still having a problem of people stealing chickens." So the magid gets up in the pulpit and he looks out to the community. And he says, "Stop stealing chickens," and they chased him out of town.
Oh, wow.
So the Mussar Haskel over here is that everybody signs up to the principles. Nobody's for stealing, right? Nobody's for stealing. Everybody is in favor of mom and apple pie. But when now you get down to like a specific application as it relates to my real practical life, then people aren't so receptive. So if the Torah wanted to tell you don't steal, say don't steal. Don't say something else and let people draw the conclusion that it means don't steal. So the question here is, why does the Torah say B'mishpat, b'mishkal, of masura, lo sasu, avel b'mishpat, mosne tzedek, avne, hin tzedek, yelachem, ani Hashem elokeichem asher etzeisim em eretz Yisrael. So that's question number one. Why is it worded in this way? Right? You should not have these dishonest weights and measures. Then, what does the Torah tell us? What is sort of the reasoning behind this, or motivation behind this? What does he say? The end of Pasuk 36? Ani Hashem Elokeichem, right? I am Hashem. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Why does it end with Ani Hashem Elokeichem? Lo Sigzol, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Why does that flow forth? Ani Hashem Elokeichem.
Stealing with weight is a way of doing it in a surreptitious way. You can't really...
If I may quote our illustrious president, you could be a 400-pound guy in a room, hacking into a computer, and nobody would know it's you.
Right.
So over here, when you shave off a little bit from this weight, and you shave off a little, powder on the scale, nobody's going to know that you're cheating them, right? So what you're suggesting, Morty, says Ani Hashem Elokeichem, is if nobody else knows what you're doing, remember I know what you're doing.
Right.
Okay, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. All right, so we got that. That's a parallel. It makes sense as well. And then, how does the pasuk conclude? Pasuk 36. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Asher hotzeisi eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim, who took you out of Egypt. So why are we talking about Egypt again? Okay, so here it could be what Briney was saying before. We mentioned last week, Reb Tebel Abandi in the Mareches Heidenheim Haggadah, right? Or 2 weeks ago, whenever that was, that Mitzrayim, had a lax judicial system, or maybe they had a corrupt judicial system. So be honest, because it's like the opposite of Mitzrayim. Remember what it was like in Mitzrayim. I'm God who took you out of Egypt. Egypt is a place of corruption, and I'm taking you out of Egypt, and therefore, Mitzrayim is mentioned over here. Okay, so we have these two mitzvahs that are grouped together. One question left is, why are they grouped together here? Why are they grouped together? Treat the ger well and be honest, right? So we explained the ends, of these parallels here. We have two mitzvahs. Each one, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Mitzrayim, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Mitzrayim. We explain that, I think, fairly well. But why are these grouped together? What's the idea of Ahavta Sager and honesty? What?
That was self-evident, Mitzrayim. They weren't being treated well. Therefore, learn your lesson of what was done to you in Mitzrayim, and don't pay it forward to a ger in your midst.
Okay, so...
And as well, if you were cheated in the shrine with not correct weights and measurements and what have you, that was the operating system at the time. Do not encourage that type of behavior in your own land.
Okay, good. Anybody else? What binds these two? I mean, Ahavta Sager and honesty. Right. Yeah?
I kind of think of also as like, somebody who is the opposite of, let's say, within our people, Gary, going to say that as far as we're coming, Gary's taking on all the mitzvahs, blah, blah, blah. So the concept of correct judicial system and being honest keeps you kind of in focus. So if you, the polar opposite of a person who is not going to have this, however we, maybe it was sugar-coated this way because everybody rationalizes that this is not really stealing unless it's pointed out to the chicken being stolen. Everybody says that they're doing it, but if you do not continue and work according to a correct judicial system, however it was written, then you can possibly go back to how it was pre-being, like not being Jewish, that you get a whole like system that's out of whack.
So what's the connection between ger and okay. Dishonesty in business?
Yeah, is somebody who chose to become.
Okay.
And he wasn't.
Good.
So now... when you're becoming a ger, you're taking on all the value system of what we represent, not just the 10 mitzvahs of b'nei no, or 7 mitzvahs, you know,
so this
taking
is b'nei no.
On 613, whatever,
right.
And whatever else guys have to do. So by following that law, it's not only that, it's the whole situation of a society. It's like kind of saying that that's the correct society to be.
So in other words, okay, so
it's the polar opposite of not doing it, then you unravel what the ger is becoming.
Okay, all right. So Yitz, you were saying, I want to put both of yours up on the board. So Yitz, give me a quick recap. Yours was that if you're that, well, you say it again. That the ger and
the ger, right, and the incorrect weights and measurements,
right,
were existing in Mitzrayim,
right.
So God took us out of that situation.
So these are all. So
right.
Yitz says these are connected.
That encouraged that type of behavior,
right,
to a ger or that type of business or that type of judicial system. If
okay.
You will.
All right. So Yitz is suggesting that both of these are connected because they both sort of reflect the Mitzrayim experience,
right,
and we shouldn't encourage that. We want to be the anti-Mitzrayim experience. Right. Brian is suggesting that.
I'm saying that before Mitzrayim.
Right, before,
but we were all in the same boat.
Right.
Right? Because we didn't become until Matan Tart that we, you know, so then.
So what Brian is saying is that we were not Jewish, and then we, you know,
right.
It's not just that we changed certain behaviors, it's like that we went into a whole different
realm.
And that's what the ger is. The ger is, you know, was not Jewish, and now is going into a whole different realm. And being, you know, this sort of honesty or dishonesty, it's not just about lo tigzol. It's about a whole value system. It's not just saying don't steal. Don't steal is an action. Hin tzedek, mishpat tzedek, avnet eifas tzedek, avnet tzedek. That's about a value system. So that's why, you know, say it's a notion of honesty, which gets into areas of life that are even not explicitly so. So lo tigzol, okay, don't steal. But, you know, shaving a little bit off of the weight and this, you know, it's like you were saying, maybe you rationalize it. So the point of the matter is that these are connected at the hip because it reflects what it was to be, the ger is moving into a whole system of values. And this mitzvah over here of honesty is not just about not stealing, but it's about a whole system of values. Okay.
Why did it say Mitzrayim as opposed to Har Sinai? Because basically they were gerim until they got to Har Sinai. Exactly what she's saying is that the ger is ready to take on something new. We weren't ready to take on anything new until we got to Har Sinai and call Omru.
Not seven Ishmael. Okay. All right, good question. Not sure. Okay, so now I want to take a look at some of the Mefarshim about this connection between. At the outset, between the mitzvah of honest weights and measures, okay, our honest weights and measures, and Mitzrayim, right, and then I think we'll get to a sort of a bigger idea by the time we conclude. Okay, the honest weights and measures. So don't be dishonest, and be honest. Honest weights and measures. So take a look at the first sheet that I gave you. And you see, I titled it here, Honesty is the Best Policy, Hello Egypt. Okay. So in essence, we're asking the question right now, what is the connection between the mitzvah of Avnei Tzedek and Mitzrayim? So the Torah Tamima, citing the Gemara, Chazal, in Bava Metzia, says the following, Amar Rava, Lama li dekasav rachmana yitzias Mitzrayim b'mishkalos? Why does the Torah connect yitzias Mitzrayim with honest weights and measures? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, Ani hu shehivchanti b'mitzrayim bein tipa shel b'chor l'tipa shel eina shel b'chor. I, God, was the one in Mitzrayim who was able to differentiate and dissociate between the difference between one child who was a Bechor and one child who was not a Bechor, even the, you know, the, Anihu she'asid li para mimi she'tomin mishkalosav b'melach. I am the same one who will be able to distinguish if you shaved off and hid your honest weights and measures. Even a child in the womb, God could tell the difference between who's a firstborn, who's not a firstborn. Nobody had signs saying I'm firstborn. God was the one who was able to distinguish between your genetics, your DNA, and your DNA. So says Rava, just as God was able to distinguish between that which is apparently indistinguishable, right, unless somebody tells you, similarly, God is the one who will hold you accountable for putting your thumb on the scale, and nobody is going to notice that, but I'll notice that. So Rava is saying, sort of like what, I don't remember who said it before, that even though Ani Hashem, it's like going to Ani Hashem Elokeichem and combining it here. You know, maybe nobody else knows what you're doing, but I know what you're doing. And and the connection between this and Mitzrayim is that God was able to distinguish and decipher between things that were very, very difficult to decipher. So Ani Hashem Elokeichem, reminding us of Mitzrayim, says, remember, the same God who knew how to, smite this one for the firstborn and not that one was also the one who knows if you have your thumb on the scale. Nobody else knows. You shave off that weight, that counterweight against which you are measuring, your roast beef that you're selling in the butcher store. Nobody's going to know, but Hashem will know. So that's what Rava says. Let's go on a little further. Asher Hotzesi. The next bold line over the next bold face about a few lines down. Okay. Asher Hotzesi al tanai shetekablu aleichem mitzvos midos. I am taking you, I took you out of Mitzrayim on condition that you will accept this mitzvah of honest weights and measures. Your freedom was done conditional upon your accepting, not that there was a discussion, but God's intention was that if he's taking you out of this place of corruption, then, the idea is that you are going to live a life of honesty. And he says, it is bound at the hip. Al tenai shetekablu aleichem mitzvos midos. I took you out of Egypt. Conditional on the foundational stone that you will conduct yourselves honestly with weights and measures. Shekol hamodeh b'mitzvos midos, whoever accepts upon themselves and agrees, signs on to the notion of the mitzvah of midos, these honest weights and measures, ki ilumodeh b'yitzias Mitzrayim, is as though he is acquiescing and paying homage to the fact that God took us out of Mitzrayim. But here's the striking sentence. V'chol hakofer b'mitzvos midos, and he who denies the mitzvah of honest weights and measures, in other words, the person who rejects it, ki'ilu kofer b'yitzias Mitzrayim, is though he's rejecting God's role and God's taking us out of Egypt. What does this mean? What does it mean, kol hakofer b'mitzvos midos, kofer b'yitzias Mitzrayim? What do you think that means?
Then, like you said, how he can do everything and anything, and if you really put your faith in, I guess you really tough on an emuna, then you wouldn't go to be dishonest. So by assuming that a person who does this is, I guess, feeling that he's in control, that he can cheat the system and do things because nobody sees and, so on and so forth. And then if you have that real faith that, if you're not doing it, that means you're in control because, I don't have anybody to answer to. Nobody sees, I'm doing it, I'm getting away with it, who's going to know?
Okay, good. All right, Yitz, what do you want to say?
Because this mitzvah is directly related to Mitzrayim. Unlike other mitzvot, Kabbalah Sadiqa Vesadecha, I don't know if there's a direct relationship to Mitzrayim or Shabbat. Being Shomer Shabbat, But this is directly related to, because specifically it's mentioned that these two things existed in Mitzrayim, these ill-begotten
activities.
So the fact, if you undertake to not do it and to be a positive role model on both situations, so you're admitting to the understanding why God is directly relating that these two commandments.
Right.
And if you don't, that means you're directly flying in the face of God's intention.
Right. Okay. Okay. Good. Anybody else? Yeah.
It's like there's a contract. I'm taking what you're saying.
Okay.
Society in which people can trust each other and are basically nice to each other. So if you're not doing that, you're breaking the covenant.
In other words, I took you out of Mitzrayim in order to live in a certain way. So if you're not living this way, then you are rejecting the whole edifice, the whole structure of the foundation of why this cheres was supposed to happen to begin with. All right. So I'm going to take what Briny and Judy said, sort of put them together. Take a look here in the Netziv. Flip the page. Okay. All right. So the Netziv says the following. Let's go to let's go to just before where I have it bold-faced over there. V'toras Kohanim Tanya. Almanas ken hotzesi eschem shetkablu aleichem mitzvas midos. It is on this condition that you conduct yourself with honest weights and measures that I took you out of Mitzrayim. Sheikar. Right, now the bold face. Sheikar yitzias Mitzrayim. The foundation, the basis, the fundamental essence of Yitzias Mitzrayim, bishvil ta'am shetaminu bashgachoso al Yisrael, that you should believe in God's providence. That's what Briny was saying. Afilu b'derech hateva, that God has divine providence, not just in the ethereal worlds, in the world of the Malachi Hashares, right? Everybody agrees that God exists, let's say. But emuna zut, but there's another type of emuna, to think that God is actually involved in my day-to-day life, and that his mitzvos are relevant to my day-to-day life. Like we said before, everybody signs on to mom and apple pie. But now when you start applying it to, you know, it's like, you know, everybody agrees that, you know, in shul you should be davening. But then when you tell somebody to stop talking in shul, they get all insulted. Right? So, you know, everybody signs on to it, but then when it's real practical application, that's not so. Everybody agrees, lo tigzol, until you decide to, you know, defraud people of $1 billion, right? Then, you know, it's a little different. And that's what Netziv is saying here, that the whole idea of Yitzias Mitzrayim, shetaminu bashkachas al Yisrael afilu b'derech hateva, that God's hashkacha is involved with us, not just with Kriyas Yamsuf, but in the natural world in which we live, everybody signs on to God in the miracles. Can you sign on to God's contract in day-to-day living? The emuna zu tluya, and this belief, this emuna, is based on mida umishkal, honest weights and measures. How so? Demi shemamin bazeh enu mishaker b'midos umishkalos. Because if you really believe that God is in my life, you're not going to try to do that. As somebody was saying before, you know, if you don't really think that anybody's watching, then, you know, you're gonna cheat. Or if you believe that you're in control of your parnasa, then you're gonna cheat because you think that you can game the system, that there is no God that's involved. And that's why Netziv says that this honest weights and measures is the anti-Mitzrayim. It's the anti-Mitzrayim. I took you out of Mitzrayim in order to understand that there's a God in the world that is involved in your life. And that's coming out of Mitzrayim. You want to be dishonest and think that you're in control of everything, right? I mean, that's what Paro thought, that he was God, right? He thought he was a deity, that he was in control, right? So the Yitzias Mitzrayim is to understand, as I always like to say, somebody's bigger than Phil. You know, everybody knows that somebody's bigger than Phil. What's his name? Mel Brooks, 2,000-year-old man.
No.
Right? Everybody knows Mel Brooks, 2,000-year-old man. No. Right. So he has one of his sketches that he's talking to the 2,000-year-old man. He says, when did you discover God? He says, oh, we discovered God, 4,000 years ago. What did you believe in before God? He says, we believed in Phil. He says, what do you mean we believed in Phil? He says, yes, Phil was a very, very big, strong man. He could kill you just by looking at you. But one day, lightning came out of the sky and struck Phil dead on the spot. And we all said, there's something bigger than Phil. So that's it to come out of Mitzrayim, to understand that there is a wisdom in the world, there is a God in the world that is actually involved. And when I think that way, that's Yetzias Mitzrayim. To think that I can, cheat the system, that's going back to Mitzrayim. So that's what the Nitziv says. Okay.
Can I just also ask a question? Let's assume somebody does something it's a dishonest thing, but not really so dishonest, just a little dishonest. They're also considered a kofar.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's basically.
There is the halachic legal system which you could be drawn to Beis Din for. And then there is the underlying value that the Torah is propagating here. So the underlying value here applies all over. Whether you could be sued and Beis Din for that, I don't know. But the value is applicable whether it's weights and measures or anything else. All right, now, are there any times where you're allowed to say a white lie? So you'll speak to Rabbi Shiffman Pirkei Avos Sunday morning. All right, that's another question. Yeah.
Go back to what you said, the word contrast, that basically is what this is all about. It's basically, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, which is the very first commandment. And then you go to the Goshen Nov, which is what, number 8 or whatever, but it's one of the lesser, it's like a Kal Vachomer. If you don't observe the Kal, which is the Lo Sig Nov, how can I have you... How can I have you observe all the others in between?
Okay, good. All right, so take a look now at the Yalkut Yehuda, which is these two pages. All right, these two pages that are not stapled together. They're not stapled together. And the Yalkut Yehuda cites the Minchas Chinuch. And he says the following. Some of it we'll read inside, some of it we'll read outside. But he basically cites the Minchas Chinuch. I'll read two lines here. Pei Dalet, footnote Pei Dalet on the bottom. Everybody see bottom of page 118, footnote Pei Dalet? Hinei Isa b'sefer achinuch. Pershu Chazal, shehi mida kitana bioser, shehi echad mi something belug. It's a tiny, tiny amount. We're talking about a 33rd of a log. V'lamdu mikan, shehatora hikpida al hamidos, bechol shehin. Kilomar, afal pisha pishar she bishar gizelos lohik pida hatora ela befruta beinyan demidos hik pida bechol shehu. The Sefer Achinuch says, let's go back to our question. Why does it say honesty versus instead of saying lo tignov? It says this notion of being honest in ways and measures is different than lo signov. Lo signov is if I steal a minimum of one coin, whatever the minimum currency is, you have to steal a pruta, or a shave pruta, something that's worth, a penny, a nickel, whatever a pruta is. But when it comes to honesty of weights and measures, it doesn't have to rise to a pruta. Even pachos mi shave pruta, even the slightest amount would garner this prohibition. The Ubal Minchas Chinuch Hiksha Alze, and the Minchas Chinuch, the commentary on the Sefer Achinuch, asks, and he says, and he brings a raya from a discussion in the Gemara to make the point that this distinction that the Sefer Achinuch makes is not correct. It's not correct that Lo Tigzel is only Pruta, and this is Shave Pruta. says the fact of the matter is, three lines at the bottom, Im kein hidach yisaren hu be fachos mishave pruta, eich efshar sheyim kor kama pa'amim lekona ba'azit starf yoser mishave pruta. So he makes the case that it's the same by all. So okay. Now having said that, you could still say that there's a distinction over here. You could say that there's a distinction between Shave Pruta and Pachos Mishave Pruta. So what does the Minchas Chinuch say? The Minchas Chinuch says the distinction here is not between Shave Pruta and Pachos Mishave Pruta, but the distinction is between the action. Between the action and between the potential. Listen to this. Lotignov is, if you steal something, you are held accountable for stealing. Honest weights and measures is a different halacha. It's a different mitzvah. It's a different prohibition. The prohibition of honest weights and measures. Read. Go back to the pasuk. Tell me exactly what the pasuk says. Pasuk 36. What does it say? The Tanakh behind you, if you want. Here, Judy, maybe give a Tanakh to a chumash for Briny. There's a. Pass it down. Okay. All right. What exactly does the pasuk say? Does the pasuk say that you shall not steal through use of weights and measures? Is that what the pasuk says? Pasuk does not say that. What does the pasuk actually say? The pasuk says. What? That you shouldn't. What is the shouldn't? You shall not what?
Have invalid weights.
You shall not have invalid weights. The prohibition here is not to steal from somebody. We got that covered already. Lotignov. We don't need weights and measures to tell me Lotignov. Weights and measures is not even having them. Not even, buying a dishonest weighted measure. Just owning it is a problem. Why? Why is just owning it a problem? Because on one level, because if you own it, then you might come to do it, right? But we don't have a prohibition in the Torah like not to have non-kosher meat in your house. You're not allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to cook it. You're not allowed to, brasser b'chalav. You're not allowed to derive benefit from it. But just to have it is not a problem. But weights and measures, we don't say, you can't have it because you might come to eat it. But weights and measures, says the chinuch, the idea is just having it. And that's a simple read of the pasuk. Don't have dishonest weights and measures. The point, I think, is that when it comes to the prohibition of weights and measures, it's about something which is truly insidious, really evil, or really bad. Because just having or making the weights and measures creates a culture of corruption. I'm living in a world of corruption. And that's even pachos mishave pruta. It can be even a tiny amount. It might be when it comes to civil law and suing you in court, maybe you need to have a shave pruta. But in terms of having morals and ethics and character and dignity and nobility and honesty and integrity, that's even a small amount. And it's just living in the schmutz. You shouldn't live in the schmutz. And so therefore, just having the weights and measures, or making the weights and measures, even if you don't use them, the Torah says, That's problematic. And now let's go back to our connection to Mitzrayim for a second. I'll take your comment. Right? So Hashem said, I'm taking you out. I took you out, at least according to one of you, Al Tanai, on condition that you know that you accept this. Otherwise, you're kofer in Yetzias Mitzrayim. How are you kofer in Yetzias Mitzrayim? Or you're going back to Yetzias Mitzrayim in a certain way? Because Mitzrayim, they were living in the schmutz. They were living in it. They were living in it. And Hashem plucked them out. They were on the 49th level of Tumah, right? Chazal say they were on the 49th level of Tumah. And Hashem plucked them out. And now they want to go bathe in the schmutz again? Because bathing in the schmutz ultimately leads you to the schmutz. It's not about having, if you have a non-kosher piece of meat in your house, it's okay if you have a non-kosher piece of meat in your house. Put a sign that says non-kosher piece of meat. If you have dishonest weights and measures in your house, that's like a whole different level of, you know, the type of, and I'm not saying you should keep non-kosher food in your house, but I'm saying you're living in a culture of corruption. And that goes, you know, to the essence, to the core of who you are. It's not just about whether you're going to do it or not. It's not just about whether you're going to eat the non-kosher food or not. This is living with the dirt. Yeah, what do you want to say?
The difference is a distortion of truth. And that's the core, which is separate than stealing. I'm kind of repeating myself, but it's not about just being bad. It's about not having a culture in which people...
It's the underlying value that animates the person.
It's not the value that to be able to know that in this culture what's true is true. That if the weights and measures are a little bit off, you're distorting reality, you're distorting the truth.
Okay, good. That's a good jumping off point to the next thing. So take a look on the page Samech, which is the next page of the Yalkut Yehuda, page Samech. Take a look at footnote Samech He. Footnote Samech He. So, footnote Samachay. So he cites here the Ksav Kabbalah. I mean, sorry, the Ksav Sofer. Says the Ksav Sofer. Sefer Ksav Sofer. Everybody see it? Okay. Footnote Samachay. Sefer Ksav Sofer, Amru, Dilakach Nismach Kaninyan Yetzias Mitzrayim. The reason it's connected to Yetzias Mitzrayim is. Mishum she'inyan yitzias Mitzrayim hayagam kein mishum she'evtiach la'Avraham. The notion of yitzias Mitzrayim is not that God simply plucked us out of Mitzrayim. It's God making good on his promise to Avraham. God is making good. His word is his bond. U'be'emes lo ha'yisrael ru'yim latzeis mi Mitzrayim. Mikol makom l'ratza HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'shanos imrei fiv. Even though the Jewish people weren't worthy of coming out of Mitzrayim. Nevertheless, God did not want to contradict himself. He made a commitment. His word is his bond. Kein yilmod mizeh ha'adam, and so therefore we should learn from this. Lihios omed bidiburo, to be upstanding with your speech. You said you'll do it, you do it. Your word is your bond. You shake on it, that's enough. You don't need a 40-page contract. Like Judy was saying, this is a society in which true is true. I tell you this is what it is, and you can take that to the bank. And therefore, hin shel chad tzedek, af sheyesh lo tzad shel hit natzlut. Everybody can trust that you are trustworthy, even though you have a perfect, what did you say, Briny? Rationalization. Can rationalize to yourself. I mean, God could have made a very good rationalization argument. I promised Abraham I was going to take the Jews out. I promised him I was going to take Jews out. Not this load of, not these guys. You know, not these guys. This is not, I didn't sign up for this. There's a famous Maimer Chazal that when the Yamsuf saw the Jewish people, the Yamsuf refused to split. And God reminded him that, I created you on condition, Mishesh Yisimei Bereshis, that you're going to split for B'nai Israel. But the but basically, you know, or as Rabbi Jacobson you know puts it a little bit more humorously, says, you know, the and I'm not saying it's in a humorous way, but God the Yom Suf saw and said, this is not what I signed up for. I didn't sign up for this. Right? I think Rabbi Jacobson uses a shidduch metaphor, right? And he says that you have chassan and kala, and then they get married, and 40 years later, so this is not what I signed up for. This is not what I signed up for. So you know, Hashem could have said, okay, that's what I said to Abraham, and maybe God could be forgiven for leaving the Jews in Egypt. Maybe he could be forgiven for that. But God wanted to be true to his word and not rely on some rationalization. As legitimate as that rationalization might be. I know a couple that got married, were married for 35 years, maybe 40, I'm not sure. And then one of the spouses decided that they weren't religious anymore. Maybe they were never religious, I don't know. But they weren't interested anymore. So I have a life built on a certain set of assumptions, a certain set of trust, and now it's all, you know, the whole edifice is falling apart. You could be forgiven for, not sticking through with that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have said to himself, listen, I made a commitment to Avraham Avinu, but for Jews coming out of Mitzrayim, not for Ovdei Avodah Zarah coming out of Mitzrayim. And so that's what Ksav Sofer says. That's the point here. The honesty and integrity is about creating, it's not just about whether you steal or not. It's about creating a society in which your word is your bond, and regardless what rationalizations you have in your mind, to remember that just as Hashem, Ani Hashem Asher Tzeisicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim, I had a very good reason to leave you there. And nobody would have said boo. But I didn't rely on that. And just as I didn't rely on that rationalization, you have to be honest as well. Even when you have hit natzlut, you have some type of way to argue to yourself that in this case, I can suspend my honesty over here. So that's the Ksav Sofer's point. And finally, just take a look at Tesvav on the bottom here. Biarim Mefarshim Dilkachnen Shu or Samechvav. Sorry, Dilkachnen Shu Dimitzrayim Al Zesh Shibdu Bi Yisrael Afshay Segzera Zumei Samakom. The big question that many Mefarshim ask is why was Mitzrayim punished if this was God's plan that the Jewish people would be sent to Mitzrayim? So the Mefarshim explain, and Yalkut Yehuda is commenting over here. Mipnei Shehifrizu Al Hamida VeHosifu Yoser Min Haroi BeShibudam. That they were hifriz al hamida. What is the, you know what the phrase hifriz al hamida means? It means in English to exaggerate. Hashem said, you know, put them in slavery. Hashem said, Hashem didn't say kol habena ya'ora tashlichuhu. God said, you know, there'll be servants in Mitzrayim. God didn't tell the Mitzrim, to take the boys and throw them into the river or to use them for, in the brick and mortar. So the Mitzrim were mafriz al hamida. It's a little bit of a play on words here. Mafriz al hamida. They were exaggerated. They went beyond what they had to do. Mida is the word which is used for these weights and measures. So they were corrupt with their weights and measures in Mitzrayim. They weren't. They didn't do it in a measured way. Shaklu mida b'mida b'diyuk. And since Mitzrayim did not weigh out their measures appropriately, their weights and measures appropriately. In other words, they took much more persecution on the Jewish people than they were warranted. L'chein nenshu, and therefore Mitzrayim was punished. V'zehu limod lihiyus zrizim lasos hakol lefi hamida hadrusha bein binyanei aguf bein binyanei mamon. And therefore we are called upon to be honest with our weights and measures. In other words, that we have to act in a measured way, in an appropriate way. It's not just about weights and measures. As he says, limud lahios, zrizim lahios, hakol lefi hamida drusha. Everything we do, we should do according to the way it's supposed to be done. Being honest in weights and measures isn't just about not stealing. It's about doing our duty in the proper manner. What's the connection to Mitzrayim? Because they were mafriz al hamida. They did not, they were not measured in what they were supposed to do. They didn't do it in an appropriate way. They corrupted their mida. We have to be mida, you know, mida tzedek, hin tzedek, everything. That's, I think, a little bit more of a homiletic. I'll conclude with Rav Hirsch. You have here in your final handout. Says Rav Hirsch, page 564, verse 35-36 on the bottom. It says the following. Let's start from...
It's in English.
What?
The one that's in English, the kind of Mishpat?
Yeah, the kind of Mishpat. We'll just read through it. The kind of mishpat of which it is speaking here is shown by the complement b'mida. It is the justice of those things of whose correctness the honesty of human intercourse depends. All of society depends on being able to trust people. The Torah considers everybody who counts, measures, or weighs anything, and on that declares its content, or declares an object to be a measure of some definite size, to have the responsibility of a show faith. Each and every person, especially in days of old, where people are really dealing in a society where they're constantly buying and selling stuff, you know, we have an economy of investments and service industry. It's a little bit different, but close enough. But I'm saying, physically speaking, they have things to measure and to weigh out. And you become a shofet. You become the head of a beis din. Every time you make a business decision, you become the head of a beis din to judge, to act honestly. You are the responsible party. He is an officer of justice. He pronounces justice and judgment as to what is right and fair. His word is mishpat, a declaration of what is right. But this places responsibility for and guard of the honesty and legality of things in general in the hands of the conscience of every single person. Wow. Right? When you say mishpat tzedek, hin tzedek, everything tzedek, but the Torah is saying that you are in an extraordinary powerful position. With great power comes great responsibility, and your responsibility is to live up to that. You are the judge to make sure that every decision that made is b'tzedek. Everyone is placed in charge of it, and not to misuse his power. So it's not just the shofet, it's not just the judge in a beis din that has to be honest, but the abuse of the confidence and the honesty of every person of which it is speaking here is not actually cheating somebody out of their rights by giving them short weight. We're not using false weights or measures in buying or selling, or with correct weights or measures giving the wrong amount. That's gezel ma'aliyu, that's simple robbery, pure gneva gzela. That need not come to the conclusion of such a chapter of making our lives holy. This pasuk is at the end of a whole perek that starts with kedoshim tinyu. The prohibition regarding honesty in weight and measures, which the Torah mentions here, makes us responsible for making or not doing away with the possibility of our fellow men being wronged, even before any wrong has been done. It's about living a higher life. Not just about making sure that I don't steal. It's about living a higher life. It forbids us even to have an imperfect weight or measure in our possession, as we pointed out earlier. It forbids us to be careless in measuring. If there is the slightest possibility of it being bought or sold, not only to exercise the utmost care, but to be most conscientious in keeping them in good condition and in good repair. Skip to the next paragraph. The reference to Yitzias Mitzrayim, with which this command of honesty in measures concludes, shows what an important position in the sphere of lawgiving it occupies. It is on the basis of Yitzias Mitzrayim, which God made known to us God's management in the midst of the life of the nations on the earth, as well as all of which thereby established for our special relationship, that God makes the demand, don't be corrupt in justice. The obligation to fulfill the command of measures was a presupposed condition, as we saw in the second opinion in the Gemara, and an intended purpose of the redemption of Egypt. The purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim is to get us to a life of Hin Tzedek, Mishpat Tzedek, Avnei Tzedek, Ephas Tzedek, not about making sure that I don't steal from you. That's the baseline. But to get to a higher place, to go from the ger, what we were before, to a whole new value system. You could have a just society where people aren't stealing. But it's not just creating a just society. This is creating a Kodesh society. They're going a whole transformation where you don't even have a dishonest weight or measure in your hand. You don't, and you and you're constantly making sure that they are that they are of honest intention. Turn the page, and with this we conclude. Bottom of page 566. You can read the rest of yourself in English. But so our sages use the harshest terms. Listen to this. Our sages use the harshest terms against one who is Meshaker B'midos, who lies about weights and measurements. You know what they call him? Kari Avel, Sanui, Meshukas, Cherem, Toeva. He's criminal, corrupt, hated, despised, banned, and an abomination. Toeva. This is what Chazal have to say about such a person. He shatters one of the basic pillars that holds up the Jewish state. He robs the land of its moral purity, desecrates the name of God, drives the presence of God away from the condition from earthly conditions, causes Israel to fall under the sword of her enemies and be driven out of their land. That's all from Taras Kohanim. So what?
Causes a very big imbalance.
Right. So I just want to conclude on this line over here that I think it's interesting. You know, people are up in arms. You know, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, right? About the last week. About the you know, the notion of homosexual behavior and you know the sin and you know forgetting the whole big discussion about it, but you know the Torah refers to that as a toeva, and people would be very very reticent if somebody was a declared Baal toeva comes to shul. I think a lot of communities would be very reticent to give that person an aliyah, because the Torah refers to it as a toeva. This type of practice is a toeva. But you know what Chazal also referred to as a toeva? Being dishonest. And you know, and while most of the time we don't know whether people are honest or dishonest, you know, sometimes somebody walks through the shul doors and everybody knows that this is a dishonest person. You know, this is the guy that defrauded people for millions of dollars and, you know, the last 6 years was, you know, was in jail in upstate New York having dafyomi. You know, so that's also a toeva in the minds of Chazal. And, you know, they have a lot of synonyms here for what it is. It's avel, sanoi, mishukatz, toeva. And so, well, you know, there are two ways to look at it. You say, oh, so we don't really care so much about this. Maybe we shouldn't care so much about, you know, the sexual immorality issues. And the other way to look at it is, you know, people are so worked up about the sexual immorality issues. Maybe you want to also be worked up about the social morals. And, you know, and instead of giving a pass to people who are, you know, who are dishonest and, you know, and cause a lot of tzaras in Klal Yisrael, and Chil Hashem and all those other good things, maybe we want to be a little bit more sensitive to the severity of what it means to have a lack of Hin Tzedek, means going back to Mitzrayim and renouncing our Geiros in a certain way, and the importance of Ani Hashem Elokeichem and Kedoshim Tihiyu, and to aspire rather to that. Okay? We will pause here.